Welcome to the 13th INSS International Annual Conference. I'm Yaron, and with me, Francois Heisbug. He is the chair of the London-based International Institute for Strategic Studies, IISS, and special advisor of the Paris-based Foundation pour la Recherche Stratégique.
Correct.
That's correct. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We will speak mainly about the situation in Syria, which is a great deal of discussion in this conference. First of all, from the international perspective, what looms ahead in terms of challenges for regional stability and also for international security?
Well, we know who won the war in Syria, and that is the Russians. They don't seem to be particularly interested in causing more instability. They have a working relationship with Israel, deconflicting air operations, that sort of stuff. They have a working relationship with the Iranians who support Hezbollah and Bashar, but the Russians are not allies with the Iranians. It's not that kind of relationship. And the Turks have their limited operations in the north, which are essentially about keeping the Kurds in control, or at least kept away from Turkish territory. Those three contenders, Russia, Iran, Turkey, have no basic reason to change very much what they're currently doing. They may have preferences. The Iranians will probably want to ramp up their support for Hezbollah. The Turks may want to push the Kurds a bit further away. And the Russians would dearly like to see some form of unitary Syria function again, although that is probably not going to happen. I mean, Bashar is in charge of a pile of ruins, a complete utter mess, which neither he nor the Russians has the means of putting back together. So the paradox is that in terms of the spin-off from Syria itself, I do not expect very substantial changes. Conversely, the knock-on effects for Israel from what is going on in Iran and through Iranian activities in Iraq and with Hezbollah, that may be of greater importance and with greater change.
Let's speak about a major event, a major development, which has a lot to do with the Iranian intervention in Syria. In the beginning of this new year, the new decade, the assassination of Quds Force head Qasem Soleimani by the United States. What is the significance of this event, and do you think it will have any effect on the future developments in Syria in particular?
The elimination of Soleimani, of course, is an extraordinary act, not because it creates any particular moral issues. He was a thoroughly unpleasant character with many dead people on his hands. But you don't eliminate the number two person in a regime, in a state, without that having broader consequences. The first consequence is that some more form of revenge of a personal nature will be found by the Iranians. Soleimani was a man, was a person who was killed, and therefore whatever retaliation has happened until now on the part of the Iranians is not going to settle the bill. So what that means in practice, I don't know, but there will be on the American side a person or persons who will die as a consequence of this. Secondly, it may change the calculus, the nuclear calculus of Iran. Iran, obviously, as we all know, had a nuclear program, military program, until 2003, was certainly very eager to continue their nuclear work between 2003 and the JCPOA in 2015. But their calculation was of a strategic, what I would call strategically rational nature. They saw what happened to Saddam, they saw what happened to Gaddafi. They don't want to end up that way. So they try one way or another to put themselves in a situation of deterrence. But now the issue has become much more personal. Soleimani is not Saddam. Mm. Soleimani is not Gaddafi. Soleimani was one of the leaders of Iran. So if you're an Iranian leader, which neither you nor I am, but if we were an Iranian leader, we would think about deterrence in a much more
personal
manner. Whether that helps push Iran towards breaking out of what is left of the JCPOA and try to dash for the bomb like the North Koreans did 20 years ago, or whether this leads them to the contrary, to try to calm things down so that unpleasant things may not need to happen, that we do not know. But I'm fairly confident that Soleimani's death will not be a neutral factor in this calculation.
There is a sense of, I would say, efforts to maybe scale back or to limit the intervention of Western countries in the Middle East, specifically in Syria, during the last year. And we're speaking about the next decade that has just begun. What is your notion in this regard? And if you have to set an agenda for the European powers and for the West, for the Middle East, how would it look like?
Now, for the West broadly, first the United States. The United States, there are two foreign policy consensuses in the United States. One is to ramp up the competition with China. That's bipartisan. And the other one is to get out of the Middle East, if at all possible. This is what Obama tried to do. This is what Trump tried twice to do in Syria. It's very difficult to get out of the Middle East once you're in. But clearly there is no willingness in the part of the elite opinion or the popular opinion in the U.S. for staying in the in the Middle East. You saw signs of that already many years ago when the Secretary of Obama's first Secretary of State said anybody who wants to start a new war in the Middle East should have their head fixed. Okay. So that's the natural inclination. The Iranians appear to have been counting on that, maybe excessively so, and they probably pushed their luck or pushed too quickly, too strongly. But as President Trump reminded everybody a few days ago, the United States is energy independent, and from Trump's standpoint, this apparently is a good enough argument to try to get out of the Middle East, along with ending endless wars. The European side, the overriding European interest for the time being is the migration issue. Now that the caliphate has been destroyed as a territorial entity, that there's a sense that Daesh is under some form of a control, to use a mild word, it is migration which is on top of the list. That is what will overdetermine attitudes towards Libya and towards Turkey and, by ricochet, Syria. There is no particular inclination by a divided Europe, because Europe is divided on Middle Eastern issues. There is little inclination to go beyond what is seen to be necessary to avoid a new and possibly bigger migration crisis, either through Turkey or through the Middle East.
Thank you very much, and thank you for watching. For more updates, please follow our website and our social networks. During the conference, stay tuned.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.